What's good, everybody? Pete Jensen and Rob Reese back with you. NHL Fantasy on Ice, Wednesday morning edition. Robbie, we're just about 1 week into the season. What's up, buddy?
1 week, feeling good, Pete. One fantasy team off to a rocket start. The other one, Bobby, I have to just say, it's a weekly lineup lock. So you lock your lineup every week. And I'm like, this is no way to play in this day and age. It's archaic. It's got to change. We got to get that out of here. We got to do head-to-head every night, Bob.
Before we get into anything, it's a special day for us, a special day for many people. But for us specifically, just to let everyone know, we are at 1 million listens since we launched this podcast. And that's a kudos to Peter Jensen and Rob Reese. And then a great thanks to the listeners for click and play for the last year and a half or so. We're at 1 million listens, and that is a lot, however you look at it. A million of anything is a lot. So congratulations to the Fantasy on Ice program. I'm going to pat everyone on the back here today on 120-21.
I love it. That's, we're only going to go up from there.
And let's go.
Yeah, for sure. It's what, like, our
second full season.
Yes. Let's go, baby. Thank you for everybody that listens out there. I would say, if you're listening and you've been a part of that 1 million number, like, just leave us a review to show us your support. Cause I know we don't have a million reviews, so we really appreciate that. That's
one
all
review
we
for
ask.
Every listen. Let's go.
We'll continue to provide three episodes a week during the regular season, rain or shine, but let's get that going. So we appreciate it, everybody.
All right, let's get to the pucks, baby. Let's go.
So pucks, big trends already. My favorite thing, checking the stats leaderboard. And today we see Jack Hughes at the top of the list. Absolutely great start, Pete. We wrote about him in our bold prediction story that this is possible. Obviously, with the draft pedigree, this shouldn't surprise many people, but he was just so average last year, even a little bit below that, that this is a great storyline. And I think now you're seeing people already. I'm getting some questions on Twitter about Jack and keeper leagues, about trading him potentially. I'm like, you can't trade him now. I mean, even if he does this every other night, every two nights, I mean, he's going to have a ton of points.
Yeah, I actually got a question yesterday, and this is not something, I wouldn't go this far, but I think it's an indication of how far he's come over this first week. Someone was asking, should I drop Ryan O'Reilly for Jack Hughes? I mean, that sounds a little crazy. I know we're only a week in, it's the New Jersey Devils, but like, and I answered, like, I would keep Ryan O'Reilly, but Jack Hughes is knocking at the door here, right? Like, you actually have to consider something like that when a guy's playing this well. 6 points in his first three games, pretty much single-handedly took down the Rangers, who have a boatload of issues, including now Mika Zibanejad being banged up after that inadvertent fall on the boards, which was unfortunate. But yeah, Jack Hughes is playing with the other kid, Sharangovich, and Kyle Palmieri. So they're on the top line. Remember, Nico Hischier is out, so that's another wrinkle. When Hischier comes back, how does it affect Jack Hughes' stock? But couldn't have gone much better here for the first week of the season.
Yeah, and I think we've got David Satriano calling in from his satellite phone here, so we'll have to get his take on this. But just to respond to that, Pete, two things. First is Zibanejad, that would be a massive blow for fantasy managers this season. It would be a massive blow to the Rangers. I think you and I were talking before the show, if they can't put up three or four goals a game, they're not going to win a whole lot of games. That affects Shesterkin. That affects kind of everybody in the nucleus there. So pay attention to that. And then regarding Nico Hischier, that's a great point, because Nico Hischier, also a number one pick, could see a same kind of point production with his high ceiling too. So maybe that affects Jack Hughes' point share a little bit, but I think this benefits New Jersey as a whole. And I think they've already, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but I think they've already kind of cemented themselves as a team that's going to be pesky this year in the East Division, Pete, kind of like what we see Ottawa doing in the Scotia North. I think we're seeing this a little bit in the Mass Mutual East Division. Davey, welcome to the program. We're talking Devils. Welcome on in, buddy.
Hey guys, it's good to be back here. Do we get to the exciting news yet? Did I miss that?
You're wearing a Kraken hat. Looks great, Davey.
You did miss it, Davey. We already talked about how we've hit 1 million listens. The only reason you really came on, but we're going to get into hockey here with you in a second about Jack Hughes. But a congratulations to you, Davey, because right now you're one of the founding fathers. You're the founding father, one of the founding fathers, and you decide to show up late for the program. So par for the course, Davey. But thank you very much.
Well, I'm off today, so I woke up early for this, and there's so many people I'd like to thank. I mean, I don't know where to start, but we're just going to skip all that. And guys, this has been great. I'm so excited for you guys. In fact, at a million, this is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I was mentioning before the show started that Davey said he would come on the show today because he was off. That shows what how hard of a worker Davey is, you know, whether he's technically in the office or out. So, and Davey is definitely our most frequent guest. I mean, some of the others, you know, James Harding, Waiver Wire James, Chris Wassel, you know, Michael Lieboff,
Alberga,
Alberga, of course. So, and so many others. But yeah, definitely Davey is the biggest guest, most often hopping on the show. So Davey, we're talking about Jack Hughes here. What's going on, man? This is like so much better than our expectations, even though like we were a little bullish on him. Like, what's your reaction to the way that the Devils are playing right now?
Well, first, I'd like to say to you guys, I mean, your bold predictions, you said this guy would score, what, 60 points or something? You had a bold prediction, and I messaged both of you and said, this guy will be lucky if he gets 30 points this year. I mean, I wasn't seeing it, but Pete, I talked to you last night. Lindy Ruff said, it's his second year. We're just going to let this guy go. He's going to play. We're not going to coddle him. He's just going to play. And in the first three games, he's been all over the ice. He's been very noticeable, and it just seems like he's more confident. I think they said yesterday was the first two-goal game he scored in his, you know, NHL career. So after he was a touted rookie last year, but I think so far he looks good, got to temper the expectations, but in a short season, it's good that you don't have many nights off because he can just keep this rolling.
And I think Davey, I guess one thing fantasy owners or managers would be asking me and have been asking me is this sustainable? Can he keep this up? A lot of the people asking me that are in keeper leagues. I should preface with that, but let's say for non-keeper leagues too, my personal belief is that yes, he can keep this up. I do think Pete brought up a good point before you joined, Davey, that Nico Hischier might take a little of the point share when he gets back in the lineup. But I think it's very fair to expect close to a point per game, maybe dip under that a little bit for the rest of the season for Jack Hughes. But if you're on, you know, looking at guys, I know Pete mentioned Ryan O'Reilly earlier is a maybe, you know, still hold on to Ryan O'Reilly, but I think you're going to see Jack Hughes enter that conversation where I might go out on a limb and try and kind of match our bold predictions article and say, I would maybe drop a Ryan O'Reilly for a Jack Hughes at this point in time, just because I like Lindy Ruff, what he's doing, you know, unleash Jack Hughes second year, do whatever you want, score a lot of points.
It'll be interesting, like you said, to see what happens when he sure comes back. But right now, I had Zibanejad. I put him on the IR just because I'm not sure about the situation. And I picked up Jack Hughes this morning, right before we came on. So that's probably why I was a little late.
Well, with these Devils, I mean, coming into the season, we thought, you know, they'd probably be the worst team in the East Division. We thought Nikita Gusev would probably be their best fantasy player. Meanwhile, he has no points in three games and he's not playing on the top line. So is Gusev a guy that you guys would hang on to in the hope that he sure eventually comes back from the leg injury and sees a little bit of the secondary scoring ripple effect, whether it's with Jack Hughes or with Nico Hischier? What do you guys think about Gusev? Are you cutting the cord on him?
I would say probably, Pete. I don't know. See, that's a tough one. I think Jack Hughes and Nico are just in a different conversation. I think exposure to Jack Hughes is going to be more valuable than exposure to Nico Hischier this season. I would say maybe wait, you know, another week or two, but the waiver wire is ripe right now. Like, I picked up Patrick Hornquist this morning. I'm just looking at, I think this season too, Davey, is important to have a couple, maybe like a streamer spot, you know, where you have one guy that you can rotate in every week. So if Gusev isn't going to put enough production to warrant him being in your lineup on most nights, I would say I'd rather have a streamer spot. What do you say, Davey?
I 100% agree with that. I have a streamer spot on, I think, two of my four teams. I mean, it's enough what we have going on with the goalies. These guys are getting hurt. You guys are getting claimed. So you're going to need maybe, you know, you might need one claim for a goalie each week. But like you mentioned, the forwards between the injuries, the guys who are out because of COVID. I mean, this. I have a couple of Dallas Stars on my team, and I like one of them, Alexander Radulov. And I'm thinking, do I even hold on to this guy? I mean, he hasn't played in 2 weeks. So just, you're right. There's so much going on. Waiver claims. You're going to need so many more players this year. So Gusev, for me personally, I would hang on to him for maybe two or three more games, not necessarily like more than a week, because the season, we got five games in. So it's going to go very quickly. So you can't really take as much time as you would in a normal season to figure these decisions out.
Yeah, you mentioned some of the stuff going on off the ice. Like, of course, the Stars haven't played a game yet. Their first game is the 22nd, I believe. The Florida Panthers have only played two games because their first game got canceled. And now we have the situation with the Carolina Hurricanes and the Nashville Predators game getting canceled, and we're awaiting to hear when those two teams will get back on the ice, hopefully sooner rather than later. But yeah, depth is so key. So we're going to get to all kinds of waiver wire pickups here. A couple at the goalie and the defenseman position that I think stand out, sticking with the Devils, Mackenzie Blackwood, especially with Corey Crawford not there anymore. This guy's been lights out through three games, right? 948 save percentage, ridiculous. And he was damn good as a rookie last year, so watch out for him. And then Robbie in your D ranks, right? Alexander Romanov has been one of the biggest storylines among rookies so far from the Canadiens.
Yeah, the great thing about the Canadiens is you can roster four of their defensemen, including Sheerat, and they're all going to be fantasy relevant just because this team is firing on all cylinders. Their depth is paying big dividends right now, and a favorable schedule, which they'll have all season. This is going to continue with these favorable matchups, and any game, really, I think, for them in the Scotia North is winnable, Davey. So I love that trend for them. Yeah, Rasmus Anderson, another one, Pete, that's a stamp of approval, automatic pickup for the Calgary Flames. But Davey, I do want to tee you up since you're the goalie master on this. Early season goalies has been a little bit of a problem for me and other fantasy owners. I've got Samsonov, Shesterkin, and Sorokin on one team, and I've really gotten next to nothing in value-wise. What are you saying? What are you seeing out there on the waiver wire market? Where are you going for goalies?
Well, one of my teams, I have Mackenzie Blackwood, so that's good. But on the other one, I have Jordan Binnington. He hasn't done well. I have Tristan Jarry, who could lose his starting spot. And I have Pavel Francouz on another, and this guy's hurt. So I agree with what you're saying. We got to go to the waiver wire. We got to see who's there. One guy who needs to be claimed, I think, would obviously be Casey DeSmith, because he wasn't great, but he won, yes, the last two games. So we're going to have to see what they're going to do with him. And then I was looking around the league. There aren't really that many other guys, but if you're really in some desperate times, I mean, John Gibson probably isn't claimed by many teams. He had a shutout the other day. He's not going to be playing. Well, he'll be getting a lot of saves because he'll be playing a lot of tough teams in the West. We know his numbers besides the wins are usually good, but that's, to me, if you really need a volume starter. And really, I mean, there's not that many other guys out there. You look at San Jose. I mean, do we really want Martin Jones and Devan Dubnyk? I don't think so. So this is a day-by-day thing. You're going to have to keep checking, like I said, especially with the teams putting goalies on the waivers and other guys getting claims. So I would say we have to look at this pretty much every day to see what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, Dubnyk and Martin Jones, through the first three games, the Sharks have allowed 13 goals in three games. That's no good for sure. And they haven't even played the Avalanche or the Golden Knights just yet. So, oh man, that's going to be a tough one for sure to stomach if you own one of those guys in fantasy. I would mention Cam Talbot, even though he lost to Gibson the other day. He's been really good against the LA Kings, and then the Anaheim Ducks. He's 2-1 and he's got a great save percentage. And the thing about Talbot is, like, you look back at the regular season last year with the Flames, very effective. Postseason, he was even better. He has the pedigree of a 40 plus win season in years past. So, and he doesn't have a lot of competition. I do think maybe in some of those games against the tough West teams, Kaapo Kähkönen will get a start here and there, and will get a chance to prove himself. But I mean, he's a lot safer of a number one goalie right now than, say, Tristan Jarry, who you mentioned.
I like the Minnesota exposure there, Pete. I agree with that. I think if you can get a goalie on a solid defensive team, even if the volume's a little lower, if I can get one start a week that's above a 910, 915 save percentage, I'll take that this season. I do want to swing over to forward real quick here and just talk about Bobby Ryan. Four goals in three games. Detroit 2-1 in that span. I mean, first of all, I have to say, Bobby Ryan, what a fantastic story. It's really inspiring to see that kind of resurgence, especially on a team like the Wings, which, you know, we were expecting them to be bottom feeders. So a good start for them overall. But I think this is a fantasy storyline now where you can make a claim on Bobby Ryan. He's up to 15% rostered on Yahoo, so available in many leagues still. And I think this is just beyond the feel-good story. I think the lineup exposure for him, Davey, is pretty decent, where you could see him scoring every other night depending on their matchup. The only thing I would caution here is that when Detroit does face the big dogs, you know, Carolina when they're back in, Tampa Bay, it's not going to be like this. So just maybe look at the matchup before you're picking up Bobby Ryan. Get your week of games planned out.
Yeah, you know, but as you mentioned, he's been a great story. He scored in what, almost every game, I think, or three of the four games. But to me, we know how Detroit, I think they got shut out the most times in the league last year. They're not really going to score many goals. So I don't really know if I would jump to the wire to claim him. To me, I'm looking at a situation like Joel Farabee, right? After his first game, I think he was the most claimed guy. And does he even have a point in the last three or four games? And that's Joel Farabee, a guy who, you know, he had scored more last year than Bobby Ryan. So it is a feel-good story, but I don't really know how long he can keep this up. And I think the hotness, you know, we may already be seeing the best of what we've seen out of him.
Oh, way to be a Debbie Downer there, David, on the best story in the National Hockey League, Bobby Ryan. I'm all for this, you know. Go pick up Bobby Ryan. Ride the hot hand. I mean, I took the Detroit Red Wings last night as big underdogs against Columbus, and I was rewarded. Bobby Ryan scores a goal. Ride the hot hand, Davey. Don't be a Debbie Downer.
I mean, I've ridden him in DFS, but for a regular team, I don't know if I can. A streaming spot, maybe, but I really I hope I'm wrong here. I really do. This is one situation where I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, well, Bobby definitely likes the name as well, of course. Bobby Ryan does it again. He actually leads the NHL tied with Travis Konecny in goals with four through the first week of the season. So definitely tip your cap to him. He's playing on the second line with Namestnikov and Filip Zadina. So the Red Wings do have some talent, especially in the forward group. We've come to know, of course, that top line over the years. When they're healthy, they're lethal, with Larkin and Mantha and Bertuzzi, but they actually have a pretty good second line as well this year. So yeah, something to consider when you're looking at, and a lot of games against the Blackhawks coming up, a lot of games against the Florida Panthers, who are 2-0, but I think they have definitely some flaws. They've been a good fantasy storyline so far, but their first two games were against the Blackhawks. But definitely one guy on the Florida Panthers. Duclair had a better game in the second game. He had two assists, playing with Barkov. But on the other side, Carter Verhaeghe, who came over from the Tampa Bay Lightning, he's the left wing with Barkov, not Huberdeau, and he scored two goals yesterday, and he's really deep league ownership, like less than 5% rostered. So do you guys have Duclair on any of your teams? If you don't, are you going in one of your deeper leagues to pick up Verhaeghe right now?
I love that we're throwing out deep league gems because we need those. I would pick up that just Verhaeghe just for the exposure. I think when you have that top line placement, you know, the minutes are going to be high. The even strength exposure is really unmatched, I think, depending on the matchup that night, unless they're playing Tampa Bay maybe. But I love that play for deep leagues. I would say prioritize Anthony Duclair just because the history is a little bit higher with that. You know what you're going to get. But yeah, Verhaeghe is a good storyline. I love the play in DFS as well, Davey. And I think too, for this Florida Panthers team, like, they can definitely score now. I like their little new power play wrinkle where they are sometimes rotating out both defensemen, Yandel and Ekblad. I think Coach Q's got these guys dialed in. And I think one major trend to watch this year is just for the teams that quietly pick up points, even if they're overtime losses. I think these are really going to amount. And the teams I think that are going to emerge the best as fantasy waiver wire pickup teams are the teams that are consistently getting points, whether it's regulation wins or overtime losses this year.
I agree with you guys on all those points, but to me, Florida, they're a team that I'm looking for a lot for these deep gems, because I feel like every one of their games, their goalies aren't great. The defense is always pretty shaky, but they can score goals. You know, the over is going to hit in most of their games, and they're going to score 3-4 goals every game. So if you can get a guy like Duclair, great. Verhaeghe might be a bottom tier guy, but even a guy like Frank Vetrano, who scored the overtime winner yesterday, they have a lot of players. And I think, like I said, their offense is going to score 3, 4, 5 goals a game. So I would look at the Panthers, especially in that division. You said the teams they play too, you know, the Red Wings, the Blackhawks. So I think it would be pretty prudent to get some guys on Florida if you have any of those spots available.
Yeah, and you mentioned the two defensemen set on the power play. Keith Yandel, last time we talked, we didn't know if he was going to play there, or no, I think it was last week when we were talking. We didn't know if he was going to play, if his Iron Man streak was going to end. He actually scored a goal on Sunday, and then he had two helpers, both on the power play in the last game. So his fantasy value has kind of corrected itself. And, you know, obviously he's worth picking up again in all formats. But on the flip side, I think we've seen a similar situation get even worse for the Rangers, who we mentioned earlier, with Tony DeAngelo. I mean, he's been healthy scratch now two games in a row. That's a little bit more concerning than the Yandle thing, which we were worried about last week. But what's your guys' take on Tony DeAngelo? And like, do you expect him to get back in the mix here? Would you drop him if you had him? Because he was a great top 25 overall defenseman consensus coming into the year.
I did drop him out of the top 50 defenseman ranks this week, Pete. That being said, if I'm in a deep fantasy league, I would hold for now. But this is a really, really dire situation because of, I think, the division they play in. The Rangers are not going to have many favorable matchups, if at all, this season. Now New Jersey's playing like a really quality club, at least a pesky club. So I would say that Tony D, if you're in a shallow league, I'd be okay cutting the cord. I would be much more in favor of picking up an Anderson, Romanov, Jacob Chychrun. Even a guy, I mean, Justin Hall has been off to a great start with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I would rather a streamer spot know that I'm going to get at least a game played from a guy rather than nothing, Davey.
Yeah, if DeAngelo isn't playing the next game, that would be, what, three in a row, I think. And at that point, you're right. If you're in an eight-team league, for sure he's got to go. There's guys out there. Little dice here if you're in some divisions with, you know, 12 or 14 that don't have as many. But, Rob, one of your D rankings, how about we were talking about the Devils. Have you seen Ty Smith? I mean, to me, that's a kid that he's got a point in three straight games. He's supposed to be an offensive guy. He's a guy that I think he can do some pretty good things for them. He's going to probably be their highest scoring offensive defenseman. And especially in the DFS, I mean, he's only like $3,000 now. So he's a guy that if you're in a, you know, deep league and you need someone, I think he could be, he was getting helpers on these Hughes goals, these Miles Wood goals. So I think he's a guy that I'd look for too in a deep league.
That's a hammer job in DFS. I do want to see his minutes a little bit higher, you know, to pick him up in season long. That's my only concern for that. But I think DFS-wise, Ty Smith is a great play. I like the PK Subban story this year too, Davey. We're already seeing his minutes. Like, Lindy Ruff is really trusting him a lot. I think he got up to 30 minutes one game already this season. So look for PK to maybe be a safe category guy this year in a nice little bounce back story in fantasy. But yeah, I think when you're looking at, just to kind of sum up this waiver wire chatter, I think when you're looking at a guy to claim this season, I would play the division almost more so than the individual team. Like for the Rangers, I'm just a little sour on already. And not to be overreactionary, but I really think that these divisions are going to play a key hand for you, especially when, let's just say, Bob, for example, the Golden Knights tonight, big favorites against the Arizona Coyotes. The Coyotes play the Golden Knights four times this week. I'm not picking up Connor Garland this week. There's no point. I don't care if he's scoring every night. I'm not picking him up this week because they play the Golden Knights four times.
Hey, we're about a week into the season. I've already figured out my betting strategy out in the West. I'm just going to take Colorado every single game they don't play Vegas. And I'm going to take Vegas every single game they don't play Colorado, either on the puck line or the regulation win and regulation line. If you do that the entire season, especially against those bottom feeders in the West, you're going to win money. You're going to be a winner. I mean, look at how top heavy it is. Vegas and Colorado are just absolutely loaded. And those other teams, we knew this going in. It's not a surprise, but I mean, The Coyotes just cannot score enough goals. I like the team. I actually like the Coyotes, but they can't keep up against Colorado and Vegas.
No, they can't. And I think the same applies to some of the depth players for both of those teams in fantasy. Like you look at, you know, obviously their backup goalies. I know that Francois is injured, but Fleury, if he's out there in some shallow leagues, he's going to get you some wins. He's going to get you some shutouts whenever he plays, even if it's sparingly. The defense on Colorado, look at the damage that Devon Taves is doing every night. Sam Girard every night. They play together on power play too. And then Taves is with Makar at even strength. So these guys are just going to continue to return value every night. Brandon Saad, slow start, but gets on the board. Anybody in the top six on either of those teams, anybody in the top four defensemen, and of course the goalie tandems for both teams are some of the safest guys you could ever hope to land on the waiver wire, I think.
Yeah, and so for games tonight, I'm looking at the big board already. One thing in particular stuck out to me is that the Canucks are a home dog. Plus 105 for them against the Canadiens. I think we're going to see a nice response from Vancouver tonight. Let me rephrase that. We need to see a nice response from Vancouver tonight. Yes. A little bit of a sluggish, slow start for them. So I hope we see that. I would take Vancouver as my favorite tonight. I'd like to go back to the Well Boys with my Ducks play from the other night that hit, but I have to be honest here and call a spade a spade. They've got, what, two goals in their past three games, and they've got points in, what, both, like two games out of that? Like, that doesn't make sense. So I would say be careful that if you're going to try and do a parlay, I might be a little bit less bullish on the Ducks tonight. I would think just the play here, Vancouver at home is an underdog. I like that against Montreal.
That's a good play for sure. Montreal, to me, has been like the most impressive team in the North Division. Every other team has had some ups and downs, right? Like the Leafs lost to the Senators, and the Oilers have had some stinkers, and the Canucks have been disappointing. Played the first two games without Miller. Maybe so you give him a little bit of a pass there. But yeah, I think that like Montreal, especially having who we mentioned earlier, Romanov, so three separate pairs with Shea Weber, Jeff Petrie, who leads all defensemen in points, by the way, Jeff Petrie, and he moved into the top 20 rankings at the position, Robbie's rankings, and then Romanov. The forward group is really deep. Nick Suzuki is one of the biggest risers in our rankings this week. So yeah, Montreal's like turning into the class of the North Division very quietly, I think. So it's not surprising to see that line, as you mentioned, Montreal favored on the road.
Well, how about their backup goalie, Jake Allen? He almost had a shutout the other day. I mean, that's a great ad for them, too. The fact that they now have someone they can trust if Carey Price gets hurt or needs a breather. But looking at Jake Allen's old team, the Blues, I think the Sharks are going to win tonight as underdogs at St. Louis. Jordan Binnington, since the playoffs last year, he just has not looked good. Yes, he won the first game this season, but he's allowing too many goals. It just seems like it's not necessarily that it's the defense's fault. It just seems like he should be stopping some of these shots. His confidence doesn't seem there. Their backup is Ville Husso. I mean, really, are they trusting this guy? So I think Binnington's going to start again tonight, and I think the Sharks will respond with their second win of the season as underdogs.
All right. Listen, there's some days where things just don't jump out at you. I think one of those days is today. There's not a lot on the board I love. I do like Robbie's pick on Vancouver. People very high on Montreal. And Vancouver, you're in desperate situation here. I mean, you cannot continue to lose games if you're Vancouver. It'd be, what, 1-4? So it's almost, I don't want to call it a must win, but when the season is short in 56 games and you come out of the gate slowly, you want to have a nice response. Travis Green's got to have that team going. I think they'll be okay tonight. If I had to make a pick tonight, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back to the well. I'm going to take Vegas in regulation. And the reason why you take Vegas in regulation is because the line for the normal game is, what, minus 200 or so. The regulation line is probably around minus 150, so you get a better price, and you hope that they win in regulation. And they're a better team than the Coyotes, although they've been playing well. The Coyotes have been playing well, and the Coyotes have the ability to mess up the game a little bit, fog it up a little bit, so to speak. So watch out for that. But Vegas is just a wagon right now. So I'll take Vegas in regulation or Vegas on the puck line.
Yeah, I mean, even if Vegas is down 2-0 heading into the third, you could still place that wager and feel okay about it. They just need 20 minutes to click, and they're going to win that game. So I like that, Bobby. For DFS plays, I'm going with Davey's play here. I've got Tomáš Hertl in the lineup. He is right up there, tied for the league lead in points in this early season race. Davey, I love that play. And I also have a little bit of both the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Edmonton Oilers in my lineup, too. I got Willie Nylander for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I've got Tyson Barrie for the Oilers. The reason here is I think this might be an over game. I'm not ready to, I wouldn't say I'd recommend playing that tonight, but this Scotia North Division can get crazy. And let's be honest, Edmonton's been all over the road this season. Toronto scraped out some wins, credit to them. So this might be a good watch game if you want to watch some good Scotia North hockey tonight.
Davey watch game already. Love it. The first one of the season. Yeah, we got some, because of the divisions, we've got some great games to watch. For DFS purposes, I was looking at Vegas. I think they're going to win, but I don't really know that they're going to score that many goals today. I got frustrated with their game the other day when I stacked the whole top line and a defenseman, and they couldn't get any points. So I'm going to stay away today. You mentioned they played them four times this week, so we'll see how they do. But I think for the Wild, you got to look at, how is Kirill Kaprizov still like $3,500, whatever it is? I don't understand when these guys are this low, this early. Maybe the guys at the fantasy books are sleeping at the wheel still, but you have to have a guy in your lineup when you can get him at this price every time.
Yeah, you could definitely do a rookie heavy lineup these days, not think twice, and then fill out the roster with Austin Matthews or Leon Draisaitl ahead of a likely high-scoring game. That's the route I'm going to go. I think it'll be the over in the Toronto-Edmonton game. I also think Edmonton has a great chance to win that game. That seems like a toss-up to me, but plus 135 on the Oilers. I know they've had their weaknesses, but they could still score with the Maple Leafs, and they'll probably, McDavid and or Draisaitl will have at least one play in this game where they twist the defenseman around and score a highlight reel goal like they always seem to do against the Maple Leafs. So yeah, go over in that game and go Oilers for some nice value, I think. And then talking about that game, Vegas and Arizona, for DFS value, definitely Chandler Stephenson. You know, you may agree with it, you may disagree with it, but the fact is he plays a lot of time on the line with Stone and Pacioretty, and both of those guys have started the season hot. He's got 3 points in his first three games and had a multi-point game the other day, Chandler Stephenson. So, you know, you may not pick him up in a season-long league, but for DFS value, especially at the center position, right? Like, so often you see, like, a team's top two centers are expensive, they're solidified, you know who they are, you can't find good value, but Stephenson is one of the hidden gems for sure at center.
It's a great exposure play for sure. So once again, thanks to all the listeners for getting us to 1 million. Big achievement for us. Thank you guys much, much money. Thanks. Many thanks. And
1 million.
And Davey, special thank you to you for being a founding member of the show, at David Satriano, Golden Master on Twitter.
Can't wait till we get to 1 million more. I mean, it's going to be before we know it.
We'll be old and gray by then. No, I'm teasing. It'll be right around the corner, man. We're flowing, man. We're hitting all-time numbers. This is all-time numbers we're hitting.
I mean, I love it personally, guys, that every day there's, you know, 5-6 games. These teams don't have any days off. Last night, watching 8 games, I love it. No days off. Let's go.
Yeah, and we appreciate it too, because, like, we know our hottest time of the year is leading up to season-long drafts, but this show is going on all year long. It's going on during the regular season, you know, the tail end of the regular season, the playoffs, it kicks back up again, the off season, we got all the moves to digest. So stick with us, leave us a review. Like I mentioned earlier, it goes a long way in supporting the year-long coverage here. So for Robbie and Bobby and Davey, it's Pete saying so long. Thanks for listening, NHL Fantasy on Ice.